going with fragrant oils there early in the morning to prepare Jesus for his final burial. And when they go, did you hear them ask the question, who's going to roll the stone away for us? Because they know that it's there, but they don't realize that it's been sealed. They don't know that there were guards there at the tomb. Apparently, they just know that it's closed off. And so they go there thinking, well, how in the world is this going to happen? Can you imagine thinking this big, heavy stone? And so you had the women that are walking to the tomb, and they're looking at each other going, how are we going to do this? I find if you pay just enough, you can get laughs at strategic places. And it's so worth it. And so the ladies go to the tomb, and they are, you imagine, they're grieving. They're sad. Their hearts are broken. I mean, their best friend, their hope for deliverance, their the salvation of the nation of Israel. I mean, they're just walking to this tomb. And you imagine, I mean, if you've lost somebody that you love and care about, there's so much weight that goes with that, isn't it? It's very heavy that you carry daily. And it's so acute and it's so sharp because it had just happened. And it's now the third day and they find themselves walking there. And I imagine there's some teary eyes and some shoulders that are kind of slouching down because it's just... The hope of having someone who would make their wrongs right seemed to be vanishing from them. They go closed off in their mind, and what they're going, what they think they're going to see, they come with closed off expectations. When I was in my early 30s, which was not that long ago, I had, don't let the gray fool you, no, it was about 10 years ago. And I was serving as a pastor for several years. I was in my first church that I was in. I didn't actually start pastoring until I was in my mid-20s. And so I switched careers, and I find myself, I'm in my first church. And if you know anything about me, if you guys get to, those of you who got to know me, know that I kind of like my schedule, and I like things to kind of be in place sometimes. And if you change up my schedule and you put more work on me, then I had anticipated that it kind of like that little frazzled, you know, kind of thing. Well, early on in my ministry, there was this thing that I realized Sunday comes every week. And so no matter what happens in my schedule, guess what, Andy? Sunday's coming, and guess what you got to do Sunday? You got to preach and teach every, right? And so I'm going, when things would happen that I didn't foresee and it made my schedule busy, I wasn't a big fan of that. Because, and I remember, and I don't know if Leslie will remember this too, there were numerous occasions when I would say to her, right, I don't know how I'm going to get this done. I don't have enough time. I'm running out of time. How is this going to work? And I was just so closed off in my thinking. And she was so good because numerous times she would respond back to me when I would say that, hey, God's going to work this out. It's going to be all right. It's going to come together. Don't worry about it. And, you know, and maybe you've done like I have done sometimes. You know, somebody speaks a truth to you, and but yet you still are going, yeah, but. You know, right? It's like, yeah, but. And I'm like, it's gonna be all right. Just breathe, kind of thing. Man, I've done that more times than I can count. What I appreciated so much is that she was so good to help refocus me from a closed-off way of thinking to an opened-up. Instead of seeing what I feared couldn't happen, she refocused to say, but look what God can still do. I mean, that right there will just, I mean, as we say, that'll preach in itself. Instead of being afraid of what you fear God can't do, to stop for a moment and to say, look what God can still do. Some people that I have come across and gotten to know and talked to over the years, I've found that when they feel broken. You know what it's like to feel broken, some of you? Yeah? So when you feel broken, to see an impossibility for being put back together. If you've been abused, to have a new way of thinking that says there is hope for wholeness in my life. When you've looked at the mirror and you've seen what you thought was the end of the road, that there's no way I can overcome this abuse, this addiction. There's no way I can overcome this negative story that I keep hearing myself. There's no way that God could ever love me enough or that I could ever make God happy enough that He would want to do anything good in my life. That's that stinking thinking sometimes. We tell ourselves we don't think we're good enough for God. The reality is, ain't none of us good enough for God. That's why we're here today. That's why we look here, and that's why we look here. And by the way, doesn't that look good? That looks so good. I want to thank those that worked on that to have an open tomb for us today. I love it because it puts both parts of the gospel front and center today. And I'm so glad that we have that. And I hope that we're able to bring that out every year so that we keep remembering what today's about, right? It's about an open tomb. So, go back to the story for a moment. Let's go back to Mark's gospel. Can we do that? Good, because that's where I was hoping we would go. And there in that story, what I want to point us to is that character that showed up. Who is the character that showed up in the story surprisingly? The one character starts with an A and then an N and a G. And it might, to one of our kids, oh yeah, who was there? An angel is there. It's not every day you get to see an angel, right? At least interact with one. And the angel shows up there at the tomb. So the women come to the tomb. And what do they find when they get to the tomb? What do they see? They see an angel because the angel's on the inside and the stone is rolled away like this tomb. And they look in, are able to see that there's an angel. And the angel talks to the women. And what I love about what the angel says to the women is the first thing that, now I'm going to sort of interpret, paraphrase, if you will, for a moment. What the angel does is refocus from fear to faith. And I like how the angel does this, because the angel tells them to essentially look to the tomb and see that He's not here. What did the angel say? Does anybody remember? You're looking for Jesus of Nazareth. He is not here. He has risen, right? He has risen. So look here and see what God has done. To me, this is powerful because they come looking with closed off expectations of what looks like an end to the road. And the angel says, no, I want you to look at it not with fear. I want you to look at it with faith. I want you to look at what God has done, not what you think was impossible. There's got to be an amen in that somewhere, right? I know, you're tracking with me. I love it. The angel tells them Jesus is not dead, He's alive. And so that means then that God is on the move for your good. That's not a choice that is just going to naturally happen for anyone. You have to choose to place your trust in the work of God. That's a personal choice. That is your choice of faith to believe. The angel doesn't make the ladies believe, but the angel invites them to look. And instead of giving in to fear, to find hope through faith. Two very different directions you can go every single day when you put your, well, I'd say when you wake up, before you even put your feet on the ground. Well, we can look, but we can also listen. And I find that's exactly what the angel says to is telling them to do. Listen to the words. In other words, how many of you know the difference between hearing and listening? How many parents wish your children would listen more than they just hear you? Okay, so there's a numerous parents. All right, so maybe those of you online may understand as well. So when so let's just take a moment on this one. Let's see if we're on the same page. So we can hear somebody say something, and it can go in one ear, and it can go right out the other. And we say, you heard me, but you weren't listening. Now, if you're listening, that means it went in one ear and it stopped and you processed what you heard and you made a decision to act and to follow. So you listened. Listen to the words. The angel says, in other words, listen. Listen to what he already told you. In other words, remember. Think upon. Contemplate. Dwell on it for a moment. Go back down memory lane for a second. What was it that he told you he was going to do? And let that just register, right? Give it a second to kind of catch up. Sometimes I have to do that. My mind just slows down. I'm like, okay, hold on. Let my mind catch up with where the moment's at. Oh, yeah, right? It's that just take a moment and listen. He's pointing them back to the story. Not just their story, but to God's story. Listen, remember what God's been telling you along the way. I was going to say it later, but I'm going to do it now. Don't just listen to the negative story you are telling yourself about yourself and about the future. Stop listening to an unhealthy narrative that you keep speaking over your life. Stop. It's not taking you anywhere healthy and productive. Quit. Stop speaking a story that's based on fear and what you're afraid can't come to pass. Now listen, you may not win that lottery. Well, I've been speaking that over my life, but God ain't... I hear you. But remember, it's not about speaking over that all the problems be solved today, but speaking the truth of who God is over your life and speaking the promises of God for your eternity with Him over your life. Speaking His promise of peace over your life. Speaking the hope of knowing that every day you're never walking alone, because even though it seems like you're alone, God's with you. Speak that promise over your life. Speak that truth over your life. Not to name it and claim it, but I can claim the gospel is right, that God's with me when He says He is with me. And that if He's my counselor, He's going to counsel me. And if He says that He'll give me strength to stand up under temptation so that when I'm tempted, I can find a way to stand up underneath it and bear that, then that's exactly what He'll do for me. I've got to listen to the story that's been telling me who He is and what He'll do so that Christ is glorified in me. Because at the end of the day, that's really what it's all about. It's knowing that no matter where I walk and what I go through, and no matter how dark the night seems, that there's light in the darkness. And it may not be just because you see the light in the darkness, but it's because the story of God says there is light in your darkness because Christ is in you. And if the light of the world is in you, then the light of God is in you. And where there is darkness, the light of Christ dispels the darkness. But it is up to us to respond to the truth and to then walk in the light and to affirm the words of God in our lives and over our lives and over our families. The angel says, listen, He already told you what He's up to. Go with Him. Go meet Him. Go talk to Him. Go keep learning from Him. Go spend some time with Him. That's a whole nother sermon right there that we could break open. I liken it to remembering that Jesus had said to them, I am the resurrection and the life. That he who comes to me, believing in who I am and why I've done what I've done for the world, if he'll follow me, that even though they die, they shall live. And he who lives shall truly never die. Listen to the words that have already been spoken. Hey, to one of the kids that are here today, what is today? You keep answering all. Let's somebody else. Man, it's like you get an A for today, an A plus. So, what is today? Today is Easter. That's right. And what are we celebrating today? Absolutely, his resurrection from the dead. And so that's why we go, he is risen.
Risen indeed.
I knew I'd get that in there somewhere. So with that in mind, then how can we take from Scripture what the angel said to those ladies and kind of walk with that? Because I'd be amiss if we came today and we didn't get something that we could just directly take right outside these doors and just apply and walk in it, right? And so I just thought, let's keep this super simple. And here's something I see that we could take. One, look to the works of God. I know you saw that coming. Look to the works of God. Keep the works of Jesus in view every day. Say, well, okay, how do I do that? I think it's super simple. And then you can let Easter be your point of reference every day. And so I think what you can do is this. So come with me. So one of the things we can do is we can look to the work of Jesus every day. So every single day when you wake up, whether you work in third shift or first shift or second, doesn't matter, right? But, you know, every day when you get up, make the choice to look to Jesus before you look for your cup of coffee. Woo! Now we're stepping on toes, aren't we? To look to Jesus before you get out of bed. Look to Jesus before you pick up your cell phone and start thinking, wondering what happened in the world last night while I slept. Before you get on social media in the morning, look to Jesus, the start of your day. Look to the cross. You notice that cross doesn't have a body hanging on it, right? Can anybody tell me why? Why? He's not dead. That's right. There you go. So Jesus goes to the cross and he dies so that our sins could be forgiven. When he died, the price of sin was paid for. He doesn't need to remain on the cross anymore because death has paid the price. The wage of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus. He paid the price for that. He was taken off the cross because the debt was paid. He's not on there anymore. So when we look to Jesus and at the empty cross, we remember that God has done for me what I could not do, and that is to forgive my sins. Every day I start my day, right? I'm not saying, you get the idea, right? To look to the empty cross every day. But maybe we could look somewhere else too. Ooh, you know where I'm going, don't you? I got to come over here to this amazing empty tomb. Yes, to look to the empty tomb. Because when Jesus is no longer in the tomb, that means that he has given victory over death. Life has won, death has lost. The victory is there. So every day I get to remember, if I look to Jesus, if I look to the cross and I look to the tomb, I have an opportunity to start my day with a point of reference that says, I get to live this day as one who is forgiven in Christ and can walk in the victory of Christ in my life. That's how I get to start my day. I imagine if we start our day with faith, fear has a hard way to go. Why? Because God is stronger than any force that seeks to oppose the truth in our lives. Start your day with truth, not with the lies you might tell yourself that are unhealthy and untrue and are not based in the truth of the gospel. Live Easter every day. Look to the works of God every day. And listen. Listen to the words of God every day. Where is one place, let me ask our Fusion students, where is one place that you can think of that we can go where we can learn about Jesus? Where do you think there's one place that we could go, we could learn about Jesus? Here. Let me think of something else. What is something else? Has pages to it, a front and a back cut. The Bible. Yes. They got it. They're on it. These guys are sharp this morning. We can look to the Scriptures to learn about Christ. Absolutely. Because what it, the Bible is really a story, isn't it? It's God's salvation story. So it's telling the narrative of how, from creation to the very end, God has been working to reconcile broken humanity back to himself. And it's telling that story. That's kind of the Bible in a nutshell. And when we go to that story, we get to read about all the wonderful works God has done towards that end. And we also get to read God's promises to us. There are so many promises in the scripture. He who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Wonderful. I know that all scripture is God-breathed, and it says that in that, God does what? He teaches us. He rebukes us at times. He corrects us. He trains us in righteousness so that we may be thoroughly equipped for every good work that he has planned for us. Like, the word is telling us the things that God has done, the things that he's given to us, the promises that we have. Do you read your Bible? You don't have to answer that out loud. But do you read your Bible? Wonderful. Wonderful. I'm going to really owe you later, aren't I? Okay, he's grinning pretty big. He's cheesing. Do we? You never know, right? When you go, listen. It's like you just think of it like a parent, right? So when you, as a parent, you speak to your kids, you want them to not just hear you, but to listen. When you go to scriptures, your Heavenly Father wants not just for you to hear him, but for you to listen. So the connection is there. Listen to the words of God and the promises of God that are he's given to us in the scriptures that are for our good. And here's what I like about this, because when we do that, it gives us a frame of reference to not just start our day, but to guide our day. I promise you this, the Bible is correct when it says that if any person lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all with liberality and without finding fault. He gives abundantly. Do you know why that is? Because God's desire for you is that you would live daily knowing the truth of his good wisdom, and that you would base decisions based on that wisdom that will then impact your relationships with other people. Anybody ever acted out in frustration with other people who have hurt you, and then after you did that, you stopped and said, I think I should have done that differently? So I'm not the only one on that one at all. Okay. God gives us wisdom to influence our decisions that we would walk in love for God and love for one another every single day. That we would treat each other and that we would talk to each other in ways that reflect a humble, servant-hearted love that would give all in order to see everyone else blessed. One that would say, I want to be a part of you living in the victory of Jesus Christ every day. Because never once has Jesus let go of me. And I'm trusting him. It's going to be okay in the end. So, Pastor, how do you know that it's going to be okay in the end? Because if I know anything about God, I know this. He loves you. He has always loved you. And you might not have felt like you deserve being loved, but he has still always loved you. And it's these two points of reference that are meant for us to look to every day to remind us how much he put his arms out wide and said, I love you. And how much he loved you and walks out of the tomb and says, I'm going to give you victory over your circumstances in the end that you don't see today. But I promise you, it's there. And it's going to have nothing to do with you, because you can't earn it. It's going to have everything to do with me, he says, and my grace, because I'm a miracle-working God. But you're going to have to trust me. Inflation, war, poverty, racism. There's plenty in the world. plenty. There's more than enough to go around. And all the more that on Easter Sunday, it's so important that we would look to the works of God and that we would listen to the words of God. And then instead of acting and responding to the world's problems like so much of the world does, that the church would be the bride of Christ that would stand up and would find hope and encouragement, would find optimism in the future. Because where do we look? We look here, and we look here, and we know God's not done because he's on the move. He's still alive. He's still working. He's not done. He's opened the tomb and he's promised life because he loves you. So that just kind of leaves me with one question. He's opened the tomb for you. Have you opened your heart to him? Do you trust him? Amen. May we all have such childlike faith, as Jesus says. Say, absolutely. Come whatever. I know what he's done for me. And I'm choosing to open my life up to him, whatever my circumstances, because I can't go wrong. I love that. Man, I love that. Father, I thank you for these words that I believe you've given me to share with us today to build hope and encouragement and deepen our spiritual conviction of the truth. And here in this moment, we are coming to the table for communion as a response to what you've done for us. It's an act of gratitude and thanksgiving, and I pray your blessing would be upon our hearts and our minds, our lives, as we worship here at communion. Amen. It almost seems like going backwards, you know, but it's good and fitting that we would share communion this morning. On Thursday of this week, we reflected back to Jesus celebrating the Passover with the disciples. And when he was with them, he had bread and he had wine. And he took the bread and he broke it and he gave it to them. He said, "Take and eat, for this is my body, which is broken, it's given up for you." And when supper was ended, he took the cup and he blessed it and he gave thanks to God. And he told the disciples, he said, "Take and drink of this cup. For this cup is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, shed for the sins of many." He said, "Eat and drink in remembrance of me." And today we'll do just that. Giving thanks to God for the works that he's done and the promises he's given on this Easter Sunday. Father, as we receive these elements, I pray your Spirit will bless them, that they will be spiritual nourishment for us, that you will grow us in Christ, and that we will live every day in the truth of what you've done for us and what you've told us. And that in doing that, we will find hope beyond hope, and our faith will be strengthened. And the world will know that where our hope is not in the things of this world, but is in you. Would you strengthen our faith today? I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.